Thought for today. Touching my child is one of life's greatest pleasures. Touching my child is one of life's greatest pleasures. I remember when my son was born. He was just a super little guy. He screamed and hollered sometimes, but most of the time he was just a gentle, quiet child. I think he screamed and hollered because he wanted to be part of the group, and we would set him aside. In our first house, we had an upper flat, and we had a big pantry off the kitchen, and then our bedroom was on the other end of the house. So we put him in the pantry in the beginning. That was his nursery, his bedroom, but it was way off on that end of the house, and we were way over here. And I didn't think that was too cool. So that was still his bedroom, but we moved his bed into our room so that we could hear him breathing. We always liked to hear him breathing. When he'd wake up in the middle of the night and Faith would give me a kick in the back, I'd go over and pick him up and change his diapers and give him his evening bottle and pat him on the back and snuggle him. And he just thought that was so great. And he didn't want to leave my arms to go and lay down in his crib. And so I'd sometimes just lay back on the bed and naturally we'd both fall asleep. And there he was, lying in my arms in a very unprotective way, but the bed was pretty much around me. And we would both be snoring, sleeping soundly, and I'd wake up and I'd look down at that wonderful, innocent little face and I'd say to myself, boy, am I blessed. What a great experience. And you know, when you touch your child, there's only one thing you think. You think, here is an expression of divinity. Here is an expression of God. Here is an expression of life. Here is an expression of purity and magnificence. Here is something that just cannot be compared to anything else. And I knew his tickle spots. And I knew his soothing spots. He had a soothing spot right on the middle of his forehead. You just take your finger and just gently run it down his forehead, down his nose, across his third eye, across his nose, and he would instantly stop doing whatever he was doing and just look up and say, He was just totally one. You see, a parent has perhaps the greatest privilege in the world, and that's learning what the human body is, learning how the human body responds to love, how the human body responds to anger, how the human body responds to touching. And all the touching that you do is beautiful touching, gentle touching, caring touching. You would never think of swatting the baby because they're noisy.
Shut up, kid.
You wouldn't think of that. You just go up to them and you say, hey, what's the problem? What's the problem? Need your diapers changed? Are you hungry? You want some snuggling? And you know, if I would go to pick him up 10 times, only once or twice did he need his pants changed or did he need something to eat. The rest of the time, he just wanted to be cuddled. He just wanted to know that someone was near him, someone loved him, someone was touching him, someone was cradling him, rocking him, gently doing something for him. But you know, as much as touching my child is one of life's greatest pleasures, even a greater pleasure that came out of it was when I was touching myself. Because every time I'd rock him, I was rocking myself. Every time I'd snuggle him, I was snuggling myself. Every time I'd kiss him and tell him how wonderful he was, I was telling myself that. And it was such a good feeling. I couldn't wait to get home from work to pick him up and hold him and tell him how wonderful he was because I was telling it to myself. Now, I could have told myself that at work. I could have told myself that on the way home. I could have told myself that all day long, but I needed the motivation. I needed the inspiration, the opportunity to share it with somebody that was really precious to me. Now, when Jeff had his first daughter, he was ecstatic. He thought the world had produced the most glorious experience that he could ever have dreamed of. He didn't know what was lying in the wings. And he loved that little girl and loves that little girl and thinks she is just the greatest thing that ever came across the world. Then they got pregnant again, and this time two little angels were fluttering around in her womb, ready to come out. And when they were born, they were glorious, smiling, happy, brilliant, genius boys, ready to come upon the world with all their love and just shine that love out in the world. Well, what happened to Jeff in the process? In the process, Jeff's smile became wider. Grandpa's smile became wider. Grandma's smile became wider. Mama's smile became wider. The whole world was a glorious place. And Jeff picks up his daughter and his sons each morning before he goes to work, and he snuggles each one. And he's not snuggling them. He's letting them snuggle him. He's letting himself snuggle himself, saying, yes, it's a wonderful day. Yes, I got beautiful children. Yes, you got a beautiful mom and papa. Yes, it's a wonderful day. You see, touching my child is one of life's greatest pleasures, but it's a reciprocal pleasure. It's one that is mutual. It's one that comes back to us in overflowing measure. The more love we give out to our child, the more love we give out to everything they do and think and say and speak and the joy that they have, the more it comes to us. It doesn't come to us. We just are it. The more we bubble with joy. See, we can say it comes to us, and we are mistaken. The more love you give to a child, the more love that keeps flowing out of you. I remember seeing my sister, well, seeing my wife too, pick up Mark. And as Faith picked up Mark, she picked him up so gently. And she really never cared about babies before that. She could have cared less. The babies were babies, and they were in the world and doing their thing and growing up to be people. And then when Mark was born, she realized that babies are not babies. Babies are people. Baby is a person, a full-grown person in a little body. And all you're doing is guiding that full-grown person to reveal itself from that little body as the body grows. And some little children are like little adults. And we say, my goodness, they're adults already. Yes, because that's how they're created. That's the type of parents they have, the parents that see them as little adults. Other parents see their children as little babies, crying, yammering, unhappy, wanting attention all the time. And that's exactly what they do. A child, truly and joyfully, is an outward expression of what the parent is. If the parent is a balanced, joyous, happy, harmonious person, the child is a joyous, happy, balanced, harmonious person. You say, well, I know a lot of balanced, wonderful people who have kids that just scream their head off and do all sorts of silly things, dumb things, mean things. Well, what do you really know about that parent? Is the parent shining outwardly something that they're not within? They're shining it merely because they want the world to think that they're a balanced, joyful, harmonious person? While within their heart, they're troubled, they're worried, and they're bothered by their mother's sickness, they're bothered by the lack of finances in their brother's family and their sister's family, and perhaps their own. They are concerned about an illness that might be pending in their life because they know something is developing within them that they haven't taken care of yet. You see, we cannot always tell by the outward expression of a person what's going on within them. But babies do. It's like a dog. If you are fearful of the dog will be very cautious with you. If you are very loving and very gentle and very kind, and that's your nature, the dog will just gravitate to you. The dog will... Why does a dog guide crooks, robbers, into the house and show them where the jewelry is? Because the crooks and robbers love dogs. Because they think what they're doing is right. They're not being bad people. They're just plying their trade of being a crook, of being a robber. Now, do you want to create crooks and robbers in your world? Well, then go ahead. You want to create rapists in your world? Go ahead. You want to create unkind people in your world? Go ahead, because it'll be a reflection of you. And if you are so pure and so beautiful and so balanced, then you will create none of that inharmony in your world. If you are so pure and so wonderful and so balanced, your child, your children, your family, your world will reflect that so beautifully. You'll feel so happy, so joyous about it. But if not, woe and behold, you're going for a great calamity. And don't do that. Don't rush off into some difficulty. When Anita decided to come to the monastery and be a monk, she put aside all of her things that she had. She took it all into her mother's attic and said, "Mother, hang on to this in case I don't want to be a monk." And because she did that, she never could be a full monk. And then she said to her mother, "Mother, please take all of my things from the attic and give them to my sisters or give them away. I don't want it at all." "But dear, you might want it if you ever cease to be a monk." "No, Mother, if I ever cease to be a monk, I will be a different person. I don't think I'll ever cease to be a monk, because to be a monk means that I'm living my divinity. That's what it means to me." Any person who comes here as a monk, as a full monk, not as a novitiate, but as a monk, and leaves all of their goodies in their parents' attic or in their family's attics, so when they go home they have it, never was a monk in the first place. Only came here to have a lovely experience and did not intend to give themselves 100% to it. Well, if you don't give yourself 100% to it, you don't get 100% from it. If you don't give your heart with all your heart to the program of being a monk, you will never walk away from here as a divine master. You may do it on your own, you may do it differently, and that's perfectly okay too. But this channel is closed to you if you don't give your all to it. If you go to school and you take a course in school and you don't give your best to it, you're not going to get the best from the course. You may eventually train yourself in the things necessary because that was your true desire, but only later. If you don't touch your child with the most exotic, pure, glorious love, the most magnificent love, you won't have any fun touching them. Why is it so many men are afraid to touch their child? They're afraid that the child will fall into pieces if they pick them up. And they lay them in their arm, and you know, they're sort of afraid of the child. But take a man and leave him alone with the child. And leave him alone for 2 or 3 days. And the man and the child will become one, because there's nobody telling the man how he should act with the child. And he acts doing what comes naturally. And as he acts doing what comes naturally, his natural penchant as a father comes out. When a father only knows a noisy, yammering child, because the mother has had a busy day and a busy life and has no time to really spread love to it, then the father thinks that's the way children are. But when you have had a chance to walk in your child's moccasins, when you have had a chance to be with your child all by yourself for just several days, you will love that child forever. That child and you will have a bonding that will be inseparable. You'll never have to say, "God and I." You'll only say, "God." You'll never have to say, "I wish." You will be. touching your child is one of the most glorious things in the world. And when you are in harmony with your child, first you're in harmony with yourself, of course, but when you're in harmony with your child, when you had a chance to spend quality time alone with your child, because there was just no one else there, you will find that you have stepped up a million notches, if you will, in your spiritual awareness. Because you'll be aware that your child is not a baby. It is not an infant. It is not something that is going to become. It's something that's revealing what it already is. And you learn that you are revealing what you already are. You're not becoming anything, you're just revealing. And the child is not becoming anything, it is just revealing. Touching my child is one of life's greatest and most glorious pleasures. Do you understand that? Do you understand what's going to happen to you when, if your child is the monastery and you love it with all your heart, what reward is going to come back to you? If your child is your husband or your wife, if your child is your job, if your child is your world, if your child is that newborn baby, whatever it may be, if your child is your thought, and your baby is your thought, your work is your thought, your family is your thought, your world is your thought, love it with all your heart and all your soul and all your being, and you'll be the happiest, most fulfilled being on the face of the earth, needing nothing, wanting nothing, but having everything. I love you. And I see each one of you, knowing that touching my child is one of life's greatest pleasures. And so it is.